You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. We're going to talk right now with Diana West, nationally syndicated columnist who blogs at dianawest.net and is author of Death of the Grown-Up, An American Betrayal. Now, Diana, you seem to have discovered something of a newfound interest by the Washington Post in a topic that they didn't seem to care about or take seriously for long periods throughout their history, but for some reason right now is front of mind for them. And that would be the influence of Russia in U.S. affairs. Now, obviously, there's been a long history of the Russians trying to change what was going on here during the Soviet days. Obviously, there were the McCarthy hearings, which in the end, Joe McCarthy was vindicated. He may not have been a nice human being, and his tactics were a little sketchy, but he was right. There were communists in the U.S. government at many levels. But now the Washington Post is talking about this as if it's a brand new scary thing that we all need to be concerned about. You have any idea why they might be concerned about Russian influence?
Well, it's a very fascinating subject. And I think what we're looking at here is another sign. I mean, what I looked at first, this was the lead story this week in Tuesday's paper, Russia suspected of election scheme, with the story discussing this fear that the elections are being influenced or tampered with somehow by Russian hackers or disinformation. And your first thought is, welcome to the world. This is what the Soviet Union / Russia does and has done ever since it came into being, was try to tamper with every election, every movement, every feature and facet of American life, to turn it to their own will, and it had tremendous success in this. And this, in fact, is the subject of American Betrayal, the tremendous success that Russian Soviet influence has had on capturing American policymakers, policymaking, wars, strategy, you name it. They've had a hand in it. So why the Washington Post would now discuss it for the first time, as far as I can tell, in such a heated way, I think is, one, a sign of the desperation, the understanding that Donald Trump may very well be, I mean, this actually seems like the biggest indicator to me that they think he will win. In other words, by sowing doubt in the outcome of the election, I am thinking, they are thinking, Trump will win, because why would they sow doubt in the election outcome whereby Hillary Clinton becomes president? Hillary is their candidate to the max. They're one of the most virulently anti-Trump media organizations.
Now, you mentioned, Diana, that they seem to fear that Trump is going to win, and so they want to delegitimize it. Could they also be trying to scare up some fear and assure turnout by, fear-mongering and all those things to make sure that any Hillary voters who might be sitting on the sidelines can see, oh, my God, we could have, you know, the Russians in charge of things and Putin running it if we don't take care of this?
Well, I think yes. I think all of the above. The Post story is discussing the possibility that there is a, quote, broad Russian operation in the United States, which, again, as we were just saying, what else is new? I mean, this is exactly what they've been, what they do, and what the Washington Post, among mainstream media organizations and the general gist in the public square on the left, has completely ignored for this past most of century that we look back to, since the Soviet Union came into being. The Washington Post is historically the pro-Hiss organ, as Whitaker Chambers called it back in the day. It was one of the most anti-McCarthy organizations back in the day. But even up until our own time, when you look at Barack Obama's election, the Washington Post did not bring us the news that his mentor was a very notorious communist named Frank Marshall Davis. This is something that they ignored. And then we find out just as recently as last week, there was some very good reporting by Cliff Kincaid that showed that David Moranis, the basically the biographer of Obama for the Washington Post, in the run-up to the 2008 election, did not discuss the Marshall Davis relationship with Obama, and that Morales himself is the son of Communist Party members. This is important in how news is shaped. But we can also look back to just a few years ago when we had that Russian illegal cell that was wrapped up. 12 Russian illegals were rolled up. These are deep cover agents who are living as Americans in the United States back in 2010, this is just a few years ago, who were swooped down upon by the FBI, instantly deported. Basically, as we find out from Bill Gertz, our friend, the crack intelligence reporter, because one of them was getting too close to an Obama cabinet member, and Bill Gertz named that cabinet member to be Hillary Clinton. Well, wouldn't that have caused the Washington Post to be worrying about a broad Russian operation in the United States? Of course not. We didn't get any of this kind of reporting. Meanwhile, you have the Clinton Foundation and Secretary of State Clinton involved in a transfer of 20% of United States uranium stocks to a Russian state company, to Vladimir Putin. This is, of course, the very famous Uranium One story that Peter Schweizer broke, and that the New York Times also has done major reporting on. And we see the Clinton Foundation getting $145 million from Uranium One directors and associates. And we see Bill Clinton getting $500,000 for a speech in Moscow, all rolled up in the same period, whereby Secretary of State Clinton's State Department asked the transfer of this uranium to Russia. Was the Washington Post interested in Russian influence in America on activities in our government institutions then? No. So you have to wonder, what is this? What is going on? And I think it is an attempt to delegitimize a possible outcome of Donald Trump winning, and it is an effort to deflect from Hillary Clinton's dealings with Russia, which have been so serious, Obama's dealings with Russia, the whole communist influence inside the Obama administration, which is not even limited to President Obama's upbringing. It also, Valerie Jarrett's forebears, David Axelrod's forebears, all in the same generation of Frank Marshall Davis, were communist activists and operators together. Did the Washington Post go into that and wonder about communist influence inside the Obama? What? No.
Yeah, in their role as palace scribes, when they were working on the coronation of Obama, as you mentioned, they ignored all these things. They didn't matter. They weren't interested in any of his many failings, let alone bad connections or mentors or Bill Ayers, his terrorist friend, or pretty much anyone. And then I think it's funny, you know, when Hillary is actually in Russia doing her failed reset, her inability to even get her staff to properly translate one Russian word so she could have an information operations moment and a picture, they didn't seem to think that was at all a problem. Sure, we could reach out to the Russians there. Sure, we can make deals with them. Sure, we can do anything. But now it seems to be against their interest in the way politics are going. So all of a sudden, the power of the press is being turned in the opposite direction.
Yes. I mean, this is why you look at that newspaper and you do not see news, you see agitprop, which of course is an old Soviet specialty. So the whole thing is very bizarre. I feel like we're just walking around in this upside down world where things like the uranium transfer that Secretary of State Clinton's State Department move goes unreported, goes undiscussed, no outrage, and then we see these sort of strange theories set forth as front page lead story news. And it's a disservice to readers, but that's not the point. They're not trying to bring news to readers. They're not trying to educate the citizens to make a good choice in November. This is about power, how to hang on to it, how to perpetuate it.
Thank you for pointing out these blatant inconsistencies and the atrocious bias of the Washington Post and the bulk of the rest of the mainstream media. Up next, we'll be talking with Bruce Bechtel about North Korean missile and nuclear testing. None of it good. This is Jim Hansen, and you're listening to Secure Freedom Radio.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.